sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Welcome, Rita.
Hi.
Are your headphones loud enough for you?
Yeah, they are.
Do you sound the good?
Listener, yeah. How are your headphones? Good.
Is it loud great. Out there?
Good on you.
Breaking that wall down.
Now, Rita, there's been some interesting news recently about insect numbers declining worldwide.
1 month of no insects and there will be no humans. I know that much.
Yeah, it's a pretty sad state of affairs. Mm. Insect Armageddon. And that is bandied around a lot, Armageddon.
I thought you meant our Armageddon.
Oh.
Sorry.
I feel like someone could do something smarter than insect Armageddon. It is used a lot, Armageddon, but this one is a scary one. And it's not really a surprise to anyone that's been studying ecology or biodiversity at all, because it kind of is matching the trends of everything that we're seeing out there. But it is one that seems to have got the attention of the world, because it is some pretty shocking stats.
I heard that insects are going to be down, but flies and cockroaches are going to be up.
Those are insects.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah. Yeah, so what we're seeing, when you see stats bandied around, like this particular one was the Biological Conservation Journal, and it's basically found that insect populations are plummeting. So stats like what they've come out with, 40% of insect species are in decline, don't really tell the full story, because it doesn't really say which species are in decline.
Hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, it's all the nice ones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So the moths and the butterflies, bees, dung beetles, which even though they don't sound nice, are actually lovely. Whereas we're going to see increases in ticks, flies, cockroaches. Yeah, it's a pretty bleak future.
All the, I mean, I'm sure they've all got a purpose, but the slightly more annoying ones.
Yeah, the ones that we don't live so well with. This has been supported by tons of other studies. So Germany found a study recently, 75% decline. And scarily, the German study was actually in protected areas. So they found that what's so scary about that is that we can't just set aside some areas for these insects to live. We actually need a healthy ecosystem. Or else we're just not going to survive. Or you know, we're going to have to start eating cockroaches.
Do you think, I think 100% we need to start eating insects, but do you think insects need to sort of get together and start making fists and stuff a bit more often and just kind of threatening us? You know what I mean?
Yeah, humans don't seem
like
to respond.
Like a cartoon situation where they're like, yeah. Oi, fucking...
Oh, look, I'm with you. But we don't seem to respond well to threats, do
True.
We?
True.
Because, you know, they're telling us that once bees go, we've got a limited amount of time to survive, and no one seems to give a fuck.
I feel like when, you know, the insect populations is collapsing like this, that is a fairly strong warning sign of how bad the natural environment is getting, because they're kind of the most sensitive to, you know, changes in temperature and air quality and...
Yeah. Well, I think that actually probably what's scarier is that they are so diverse, and there's some that are super sensitive, and I'll talk about them in a minute, but there's actually some that aren't. And seeing declines across the board like this is actually quite concerning, because you can understand when the sensitive things disappear, because you know, we're creating quite a harsh environment. And that's, by the way, I think I've said it before, I'll say it again, that's why humans do really well, because we're actually a really robust species. We can kind of survive in toxins. Certain species can't. So when you see some of those sensitive species dying out, it's easy to kind of shrug and go, well, they're not made for this kind of environment. And if they aren't able to survive, it's survival of the fittest, you know. But when you're seeing whole sections of species like this,
survival of the shittest, really, at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, well, we're just setting ourselves up for a really nasty
phone call
situation. Maybe.
Hello, 95 BFM, you're with Sustaining Alive.
Yeah, hi, sorry to interrupt your riveting show, but just, hey, what you were talking about with monarch butterflies, you guys were advertising Bob Harvey to buy more swan plants just recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I bought three swan plants, and we've had one monarch butterfly visit us in the last month. Mm. I've got a mate who's got a massive big area, and it's just full of swan plants, and he hardly gets any monarch butterflies.
Do you have any wasps? Are there any wasps in the area? Because I've noticed if you've got wasps around, the wasps love killing caterpillars.
No, we've got some bees. You have wasps around, but no, we've mainly got bees around here. It's just this guy's passionate about his monarch butterflies, and he's just got none coming.
Mm.
And it's a massive area, so it's a real sad.
Yeah, it is.
I've actually seen a few monarchs myself. So
this year has been a huge decline in monarch butterfly populations.
Us humans need a good kick up the arse in all departments.
Yeah.
Can't pay.
Thank you.
Have a good night, guys.
Sorry, it is grim. It is the thing. They are unsung heroes. The old insects, because they just do so much for us, and we just don't even realise it. So I thought I'd take us through some of the things that they do and what it actually means for us, because I think at the moment it's easy to go, oh, insects are dying, that's annoying, that's a bit of a bugger, but you know, they annoy me. Mm. So whatever, it'd be nice to not have as many flies or whatever. Mm. But actually they all, even the annoying ones, play a part. So obviously we know that they pollinate. That's probably one of the most obvious things that they do. And what people don't realise is that some plants actually can pollinate themselves, because they have both sexes like available on one plant. Mm. And so they kind of pollinate by wind. But most plants, and how we have survived as humans, is relying on most plants that don't have the same sex on the same plant. So we have to rely on one insect to take one part of their plant to another plant. And sometimes they're kilometres away. And that is a real major problem for us, because if we lose that ability, we're all going to have to get some little brushes and start pollinating our own food. And it is something that's freaking out the UN, to be honest. And companies are working on miniature drones to do this for us. So, you know, it would be a lot easier. Hungary's really into that idea, but until they start killing us.
Wait, what are the drones doing? Are the insects allowed to ride on the drones to the next thing, or are we?
No.
That's what I thought was happening. No, maybe the insects would have their own little drones.
They're just pollinating. It's a very expensive way of pollinating. They're also a biological control, so that's kind of what you were sort of saying about the monarch. So at the moment there is a couple of different types of wasps that attack the caterpillars. And for those people out there that have got some swan plants with caterpillars, the easiest thing to do to protect them is to put some netting over them, really fine netting, so that the wasps can't get through. Once they become butterflies, they're a little bit more protected, but as caterpillars, you can throw some nets over them. But biological control, so they kind of keep them all themselves in balance, in check, by eating each other, in a nutshell. Things like ticks and mosquitoes all have a biological control that ensure that their population numbers don't get too big. And if we kill those beetles or whatever it is that is a natural enemy, then we'll have a huge boom in mosquitoes and ticks. They also do, if we do get these booms, then all of a sudden what happens is we use more pesticide. And then so it's like this kind of bad cycle, or what we call in science a positive feedback loop, where there's more insects, so we use more pesticide, which kills more insects, which means we use more, so it's a bad cycle. The other thing they do is they're decomposers. So this is probably the most important next to pollination.
Are you talking about kind of that thing where they set up a film of like a fox getting like eaten?
Oh, yeah.
Time-lapse photography?
Totally.
I love that
stuff.
Yeah,
totally.
Love it.
Totally.
First it goes like, they will like show up, and then the thing gets a little bit bigger. And then it goes,
and then gets smaller. Yeah. If you haven't seen a time lapse of that, you should go insect decompose.
Decomposing a fox, that seems to be a good one.
So they eat and decompose dead foxes, but also anything that is, right from leaves, which fall right through to. In fact, they've even found some insects that are eating plastic, which is really exciting. Mm. So there is lots of important tasks that they do, and it helps the soil development. So things like they take nitrogen and convert it to a form that plants can then pick up. So without them, it becomes very difficult. Soil is actually one of the most difficult things for us to reproduce as humans. It's a very important role.
We need it to be a planet too.
We do. It's kind of important.
Just that foot layer. Cheers.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. There's a really awesome meme which is like, you know, thousands of, you know, millions of years of evolution, and everything kind of comes down to, you know, 6 feet of topsoil, yeah, basically. Yeah. So. The other thing insects provide, no shock horror to anyone, is food. So they are food for birds, mammals and bats. And without them, the food chain, which is actually a food web, and we should talk about that one day, will collapse. So that is, you know, a bit of a fuck up if that happens.
Food web.
Including humans. 2 billion people eat insects on a regular basis.
Nice one.
Have we got to the point where the...
You mean by accident?
No. Okay, if you add the accidentals.
Where the insect... Have we got to the point where the insect population is in such dire straits that we could implement international policy where we just don't use pesticides for, you know? We just go, all right, that's it. No more pesticides.
No, well... We probably should.
But then we wouldn't get to make little insect drones, John.
Yeah, I think, you know... I think we need to probably have a show next week or the week after where we talk about some macro solutions to some of this, because, you know, some of the solutions here are, hey, you know, you've got a lawn. Lawn isn't great. Anything like monoculture like that isn't great for animals, any animals really. In the ecosystem, it's just stripping it. So plant some trees, you know, and that's great. Everyone out there can do their little bit. And this show is totally about, you know, getting everyone to do their bit. But there is, you know, we're pushing shit uphill with a rake, basically, if we all are going to try.
Kind of like a dung beetle would.
Yeah, totally. You know, if we're trying to make large scale changes by ourselves, it's setting us up to fail, and it's not really fair. And we get phone calls regularly after the show from people going, you know, this is not big enough. We need bigger changes.
You're talking about law needs to be like
law.
We kind of need to be told what to do.
A new economic system. Like, what does that look like? You know, it's all nice and you know, I got a little bit of stick from people last week saying, hey,
who was giving you stick?
Oh, just friends. You know,
name some names.
You can't. You know, you can't just take the fishing industry and turn it into, you know, hand fishing.
So, oh, what a sushi. Yeah. Yes, you can, actually. You can do that.
But I think, you know, I think we need to kind of showcase that there is a different way, and there is a world that we can build where we change everything on a macro scale, and it does look okay. We're not going to go back to the dark ages. And the things that we do go back to, we used to do, you know, in the 70s, hell... The happiness levels were so much happier in the 70s than they are now.
Just culture changes, so it'll just be like a new culture that we do, and then yay, man.
Totally, and it's really hard for us to sit here and go, we need to do these big wholesale changes, when we think, oh, but how am I going to fit that in, and working 10 hours a day?
Well, the thing is, the future, we shouldn't be working, right?
Exactly. Well, there's definitely going to be more time that we're going to have to spend hand pollinating our fruits. As you know. And the other one that people say is, oh, you know, we can't make these changes. And the realization is, we should make them while we still have the choice, because soon we're not going to have a choice. It's going to be forced upon us.
You're going to have to look your kids in the fucking face. Think about that.
Yeah, you know, while they're dealing with the collapse of the ecosystem, and they won't know any better, and it's really sad. It's we can be preparing ourselves for this and setting up a future that we're all happy with, or we could just ignore it until it becomes a real problem and there's no insects and it's too late and we've got a month to live. You know, pretty dire.
It
doesn't need to be like that. There's so many warnings that it's coming, and they all are pointing at about the same time, at about 2030, you know, that we're going to run out of fisheries, we're going to run out of insects, we're going to run out of sort of like, hey guys, maybe we should do something.
Caller, I think you've tried a few times. What's going on?
Yeah, look, I'd like to throw my little penny in there.
You dropped your penny.
Music there. But I have been doing the monarch thing for quite a while now, and honestly, I've got a forest of swan plants, a forest, and they are seeding at the moment. I'm just letting them all blow in the wind.
Can we come to your house?
Well, you can. Sounds it's an open door. And I've got tons of monarch butterflies flying around, and I just followed the wasps. You know, it's all to do with, like, just being
aware and just see where the wasps go at night time and just take the nest out. I'm very, you know, let's just, I must say that I am a bit persistent. And it works at the end of the day.
Well, thank you for the monarchs, my friend.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, it can be done, but you just need to put a bit of extra effort in. That's what I say.
Well, it's just got to become a priority in people's lives, isn't it?
Yeah,
this kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the bees. You know, we've got the bees here too, and we just have our little Shangri-La.
Where are you? Where are you roughly?
Wonderful.
Just roughly, where are you?
I'm in Auckland City.
Nice one.
Fantastic.
Nice one.
We can't say much more than that. I mean...
Okay, but you're in the city.
In the city.
Impressive. Hey, thanks, mate.
Yeah, thank you. And a really good point there, you know, I think being aware of everything that's going on around you, and if you've got wasps, then, yeah, you can do something about them. If you've got, you know, rats, you can do something about them.
Why are wasps always some kind of particular European wasp? They're always like... It's almost
German
like,
wasp.
Yeah, or like yeah, an Eastern yeah. something wasp.
Actually, we've got native wasps, and they're beautiful, and they're little. You can
but
tell
still,
the difference.
They still don't... sons of bitches as well, though.
No.
The European ones are evil.
Yeah, because they've been brought in, right?
Why didn't someone bring them in?
I don't know.
Accident
don't know. And
fruit and stuff.
Maybe an accident, yeah. Although, who knows? Back in the day, like, there was a few weirdos. Like, they were like, oh,
let's try gorse out. Let's try rabbits out.
No. What about some starlings?
I really need that weasel, and I also need that stoat.
Should we kill the Queensland fruit fly then? Question mark. Don't. Everyone's remembering that whole saga in Grey Lynn now.
Yeah.
What a crazy little fruit circle that was.
Yeah.
Right
you know,
around that countdown.
Look, I think the thing is that right now they're going to, so I don't think we, you know, they're probably going to drop a ton of pesticide, insecticide whilst doing it. But the area they're dropping it on is already pretty well degraded, like in terms of it's an urban environment. I don't know what to say to that. It's a difficult one because it's the same argument as, like, you know, do we go and drop tons of 1080 in the forest? It's not ideal, but without doing it, we're going to wipe out our own species. It's sort of like rock and a hard place. And we're getting ourselves into these situations. It's like, well, why? Let's take a step back. Why have we sped up our borders so much that we keep risking this stuff? Does anyone mind taking 10 more minutes to come through customs just to be checked? Like, you know, I think we get put in these situations where it's like, oh, do you want this or this? And both are shitty situations. And we didn't need to get to that. It's like we were kind of cornered into it.
Thank you very much, Rita. Insects.
No worries. Keep an eye on the butterflies. See if you can get rid of the wasps.
Buzz off! Nah, cheers. Catch you next Monday.
See ya.
See ya.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM.